Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is a returning guest, Dr. Michael Brown. And he is a Christian educator, author, columnist, and radio host as well. And in fact, a new book will be coming out about a month from now called Donald Trump is Not My Savior. And we're going to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation process, and especially this new situation where there's a serious accusation against him, although it's a very, very old one, back from his high school days. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, glad to be with you. What a time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Did I get the exact title of your book correct?
Yes. But actually, yeah, that's the title. The subtitle is important, too, because there are two sides to it. Donald Trump is Not My Savior. The subtitle, An Evangelical Leader Speaks His Mind About the Man He Supports as President. So there's a certain tension we walk in. On the one hand, the president is not our savior. We're not looking to him to transform the nation or hitching our soul to him.
Right.
On the other hand, there's much good that he's doing that we need to support. So how do we walk that line? That's what the book is about.
And I would say that for the most part, Christians and conservatives have been very pleased hitherto with the selection of Brett Kavanaugh, based on what we've known. And now comes this last-minute accusation, which, by the way, it wasn't right, honestly, by even, I think even a liberal should say this, it wasn't right for Dianne Feinstein to just hold on to that letter and that accusation weeks and weeks ago instead of releasing it in the process so that, you know, this whole thing could have a fair hearing, etc. But let's ask your comments. You wax eloquent, if you would, on Christine Blasey Ford and her accusations about Kavanaugh allegedly trying to rape her back when they were in high school.
Yeah, there's so many issues here to unpack, Jerry. First is the big battle, which is really the battle over abortion. The frenzied attempt to try to keep Justice Kavanaugh out is based on the fear that he might be a vote that would ultimately go against Roe v. Wade in the future. So the issue here for Democrats and liberals is not primarily the issue of sexual assault or the Me Too movement and these important voices in our society today. This is really the battle over abortion. And you're 100% right. It is unjustifiable for Senator Feinstein to wait a couple of months from when she had the accusation, had the letter, and then bring it up at such time that it's almost impossible to properly vet, look into the charges. So that's one issue. Now we have the second. Own biases. If we stand with the president and his appointees to the Supreme Court, if we're excited about Neil Gorsuch and pleased for the most part with Brett Kavanaugh, we look at this as just an attack, scurrilous. We dismiss it. We say, look at his track record since. We say the other alleged witnesses, the people that were supposedly there, they both deny any knowledge of this. Why should we believe this liberal professor? And look at her own track record, and there are even reports that Justice Kavanaugh's mother was involved with a foreclosure suit against her parents. Why should we believe her? Then there's the flip side to say, well, hang on. What if this really did happen? What if this was Bill Clinton or Barack Obama instead of Donald Trump appointing someone? What if the person being appointed was an extreme liberal? Wouldn't we be jumping and saying, wait, we need to look at this? So what we have to do is come to this as impartially as we can. Justice is impartial. Justice goes by facts, not sentiments. And most of us live, if we're honest, in a certain echo chamber where we have our own views reinforced and we just dismiss the views of others. What we need to do is say, okay, how can we look at this righteously, fairly, honestly? And my posture is I don't believe either side. I don't dismiss either side. I do my best to look at the evidence.
You don't believe either side. Okay. Kavanaugh says, I categorically deny that this incident happened. You don't believe him. Is that what you're saying? No.
Well, my suspicion is he's telling the truth. But what I mean is, right now, I can't say I know his denial is true, and I can't say I know her accusation is true. I neither believe nor dismiss, meaning, until the evidence is on the table, until this can be sorted out, I have to not just say, well, I believe him based on his track record, or I don't believe her based on hers. What I have to say is, okay, let's look at the evidence. and now based on the evidence, how credible are the accusations? In other words, it's just too easy to be loyal to one side or another, mm-hmm. and in the process to move past the issue of impartial justice. So I don't know Justice Kavanaugh. I don't know Professor Ford. My suspicions are he's not guilty. My suspicions are this is just another Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas kind of trick. My suspicions are that Democrats are just doing everything in their power to delay the nomination, the vote for Justice Kavanaugh with the hope that they can flip the Senate and or with the hope that their Democratic senators won't have to vote and go on record as voting against Trump's appointee before the elections, those that are in vulnerable states. But the only issue is, which way does the evidence lead? It doesn't look good based on the evidence in terms of, it doesn't look good for her in that she can't remember the year, she can't remember the place, she can't remember all kinds of other details, and the others who are allegedly there all deny it, mm-hmm. and Justice Kavanaugh has no history of this, mm-hmm. and there are no other people accusing him mm-hmm. after all these years. No one else is coming forward and accusing him. So I'm just looking at the evidence and saying, I don't know who's telling the truth. But for most of us, we're caught up in the moment. And then here's the other thing. What if he actually did this 36 years ago? Does that impugn his integrity since? What if for the last 35 and a half years, he's been the most upright, moral guy you can find? Look, when I was a teenager, I did open things. My testimony is well known. I was shooting heroin. I was using LSD. I broke into a doctor's office. I was a rebel, an idiot kid, in just living in the flesh. That's part of my testimony. It's a testimony to God's redemptive power. Mm-hmm. It's not a strike against me. It's a testimony of God's redemptive power. That's why we published my testimony years ago, calling it from LSD to PhD. But if I had been engaged in all kinds of crimes, hid it, covered it up, and denied it for decades, and when confronted with evidence, denied it, then you can question my credibility because I've been living a lie ever since.
All right, let me ask you this. There are, there's a back and forth in terms of whether she herself will go ahead and testify or not, and it looks like she's not necessarily willing to sit on the hot seat. I let me go ahead and timestamp this recording. We have to do these things in advance. This is being recorded on early Wednesday afternoon, in the year of our Lord 2018, specifically September 19th. Your thoughts about her testimony, especially if she's not willing to actually sit there, in the Senate and face her accuser. Or no, she is the accuser. Accused.
Yeah, exactly. Face her accused. If she's not willing, then the Senate has to move on. The Senate Judiciary Committee simply has to make their vote and move on. The idea, what she's calling for, or her lawyers calling for, that the FBI has to investigate this, they've already said no, I believe, twice to doing that. That no federal crime was committed within any statute of limitations. There's nothing for them to look into or investigate, or maybe they've looked at it enough to say there's no evidence. It's just one woman's accusation. And look, I don't want to dismiss someone that may have been assaulted. Women have had that enough. Women are not believed when they come forward in rape cases. And maybe you've studied this more than I have, but maybe it's one out of four rape victims even comes forward to the police and testifies. And many have said that they're just shamed. And in certain cultures, if you're raped, you're the guilty party for getting raped. So if she was assaulted, the last thing I want to do as a follower of Jesus is just dismiss that. But at this point, when these things are supposedly everybody was drunk involved, who's remembering things accurately? Who's not? Should she be believed? If she's not willing to come forward now, she's identified herself, another one of these alleged leaks, maybe from the Democrats, coming forward now, she's going to identify who she is and all this. If she's done that and she's not willing to testify, then you just move on. You just move on, and Justice Kavanaugh gets all the witnesses in the future to say this never happened. This was just a charge against me, and he serves with distinction on the Supreme Court. That's hopefully the way things would move forward. But look, Jesus gives us a principle in John 3 that whoever has the truth brings it to the light. So you say, well, she's going to be shamed. No, she's already come forward. She's already said what she has to say. I know if I was a victim of something and I've already come forward with the embarrassing details and now I have the opportunity to face my accuser. I'm going to do it. I want the whole world to hear this if that's the case. I want the truth to come to light. If people are not believing me, I want the truth to come to light. And it's absolutely terrible that she's getting death threats. It's absolutely terrible that she's had to move out of her house and hire private security from what we've been told. On the flip side, I imagine there's a nice book contract waiting on the other side also. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going to question motives. That's for God to know. I'm not going to say, is she lying? Is she reliable? Is she misremembering? Is this political? Is she a victim? God knows. But bring the truth to light. And anything that is going to sidetrack the hearings and delay the hearings and push them back further past the next midterm elections, that to me absolutely smacks of partisanship, unreliability, and is totally suspect.
Yeah. All right. Now, as far as FBI checks, I understand that Brett Kavanaugh's gone through 6 FBI checks, and Gary Bauer wrote recently that he underwent 1, and he said it was extremely thorough, and he said, I'd rather go through a colonoscopy than go through that. So for Brett Kavanaugh to have gone through 6, and they, of course, this thing never came to light. But it sounds like he's been thoroughly vetted, and it is, I mean, the last minute nature of this does, you know, cause one to get suspicious and so forth. I even wrote about it in terms of, oh, this sounds like Saul Alinsky's playbook at work, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that's the thing with FBI vetting. I've joked with people that if I was going to be called in to serve in some particular way, that I would, I wouldn't last 2 seconds in terms of, you know, they'd get a quote from me preaching a message somewhere. So, and look, everything I say, I stand by.
Yeah.
But it's not politically correct.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's not the kind of stuff that is fly in the mainstream political realm. But look, when I endorsed Senator Ted Cruz, the one and only time I endorsed the candidate, they came to me. Rafael Cruz spoke with me, his dad, and asked if I'd consider endorsing him. We discussed the reasons and potential ways to help the campaign and things I stood for that Ted Cruz stood for. And I said, yeah, let me really consider it. And then I did it. Before they announced it publicly, they vetted me. This is just, now think of how minor that is, right? I have a voice, but I'm not the best known voice in America.
Well, wait a minute.
I was
wait,
going to be one
wait.
Of a number of religious leaders endorsing him.
Okay.
And I had to be vetted first for that.
And you were vetted and they still approved?
Yeah, yeah, because
good.
They,
okay.
as a religious leader, standing for what I stood for, they were good with it. In other words, the areas where I was controversial were things they agreed with, and the way I said and did things was comported with their standards. But my point is, that took some days for them to check into, and obviously I don't have skeletons in the closet. No, what's known is known. What my testimony before I was saved is known. But the point is, that was for something that minor. I could only imagine.
Yeah,
I probably
yeah.
can't imagine
yeah.
what FBI vetting, because you don't want anything like this to come up last minute. And again, this would be the kind of thing that would be an expected pattern of behavior. And I don't know whether the charges against Roy Moore were true or not. I had a hard time believing them. But whether they were true or not, they were multiple women who had talked to people back when things happened. So God knows the truth of it. But this is a totally different animal. No other examples. Nobody else coming forward. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of contemporaries saying,
positive
supporting his character.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, this not coming up until a therapy session 30 plus years later, it makes it all suspect. But again, my thing is, let the truth come to light. Justice Kavanaugh wants to do it. That speaks well of him. He's eager to do it. He has contemporary witnesses standing with him. So if this woman won't come and testify, move forward. That's what you have to do and get past this obstruction.
All right, Dr. Michael Brown, askdrbrown.org for more information. Thank you, Dr. Brown. God bless and all the best. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.